Okay, Ricky, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you, Daryl. Praise God. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for what God is doing. So I'm going to start us with a word of prayer, and then I want to share and kind of reiterate a couple visions I had about President Trump's presidency, and then talk about the 45 goals of communism and why it's so important for us to be attentive to what's taking place in our nation. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you. As I listen to the praise reports, I am so undone. Wednesday, I was thinking, Lord, this is all just so good to be true, and thinking, how's Daryl going to keep up with all of these praise reports? And yesterday, I was more and more and more was coming through, and I thought, we're just never going to be able to release all of it because we've prayed about these things for so long, and we're seeing those praise reports just roll out, those victories come forth. And today I was thinking of the determination in President Trump. To wrest America from the grip of the cabal. And I thought about all the time we have spent praying to see the very things that we're hearing occur today. And I am undone. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you. Thank you. I just ask that you help all of us to stay focused, and Lord, help this message come through in the heart that you gave it to me. And Lord, help us to be able to comprehend all that you're saying through this and recognize what you're doing in this hour through all of these steps that are being taken. Let us see you in these steps, and let us continue to align ourselves with your will for our nation. It's not just for today. It's for our children, our grandchildren. And so, Lord, we thank you and ask that you settle things around us over the course of the next couple of hours so that we can hear the word and we can pray. In your precious name, amen. So as I said in my prayer, I want to reiterate, or before I prayed, I want to reiterate a couple of things that the Lord had shown me for President Trump clear back 9 years ago, and then one that he gave me back in 23. Because if we recognize God's prophetic timeline, we align with what he's doing, and we are more effective in our prayers. And when things get bumpy, and, you know, I can promise you, we got a lot of rejoicing this week and a lot of praise, and we're very excited, but we are going to see some bumpy times. So when things do get bumpy, we need to be able to cling to what God is saying and what God is doing through the bumps, and align ourselves and view them through the lens of the Lord and not our own flesh. That's often where we get into trouble. We view things through our own lens. And, you know, we're called to rise above our own lens. So, the two that I wanted to address, there's a couple of bumps I wanted to address first. And because, you know, the election has come in and we have the inauguration this week, I felt it was really important to tackle these things. So what kind of things are we facing that might seem like they're going to be obstacles or, you know, we might feel concerned about in the natural? As a Californian, I'm going to address a couple things here in California that are taking place right now. And the reason for that is because we need to pray those things down and not be fearful when we see obstacles come up. And it's natural to feel fearful, especially in light of what we've been through for the last, you know, 25 years, but most especially the last 9 years. It's natural to feel fearful and like, oh my goodness, is it happening again? But we really are on a different timeline today than we were 9 years ago, and it's important to recognize that. All right, so what kind of bumps are we talking about here? So in, you know, California came together in an emergency assembly last week, and they did this not so that they could really come together around our Southern California citizens that have been devastated by the fires, but so that they could set aside $50 million for litigation to fight against President Trump's policies. So their goal is to prevent them from being implemented here in California, like California is its own separate country. You know, wildfires have been raging in Southern California, and there's just been catastrophic devastation to the tune of really billions of dollars in damages. And Newsom is so graciously sending those families about $750 to rebuild their lives with. But $50 million has now been set aside to fight against securing the border and ending the Green New Deal, or as Trump puts it, the Green New Steal. And so, you know, Newsom is going to fight, but, you know, President Trump today came here to California, and, you know, when he was interviewed, he said that he wants to help California implement, or he wants California to implement voter ID laws and change their water policy before he agrees to the wildfire aid. And, you know, we really do need intervention. We need intervention. And Newsom is fighting against him. But there is a different President Trump this time around. And I'm going to speak to that in just a minute. So, and then the second thing that I wanted to bring up is the New York Times posted on X the following: President Trump revoked a 60-year-old executive order banning discrimination in hiring practices in the federal government on Wednesday. His latest action aimed at gutting diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, with a link to an article that the title of which is Trump Rolls Back Civil Rights Measure Banning Discrimination in Federal Hiring. And, you know, we have to remember that there are experts at wording things to make Trump look really bad and to make him look like a racist. And, you know, these affirmative action is really an incredibly racist policy. Affirmative action hiring is incredibly racist. You know, I have four children, and they're from two different fathers. My oldest, her father is German and something, I think German and Irish. And I'm German and Jew and English and, quite a bit of the melting pot, but basically non-Hispanic. My other three children, their father is half German, but he's half his Mexican and Spanish. And so when my kids were all ready to go to college, we had to pay for my oldest daughter's education, right? But all three of my younger children got their education covered because they've got Hispanic blood in them. Same family, but my kids were, my oldest daughter was discriminated against. My ex-husband's a lawyer. None of them really needed the aid, but it's the discrimination even within a family. And that's an affirmative action type of thing. And, it's helpful and it's beneficial if you can get financial aid for college. Not that I would recommend a lot of people going to college right now till those universities are cleaned up. Trade school's really the better route to go. But the point is it puts before you, just like Martin Luther King said, he longed for the day that people would be judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. And I think that we've lost sight of the content of character because they've implemented affirmative action. And now we just look at the color of skin, and it was replaced with DEI. So when you see headlines that, bring up the civil rights, because remember, the pro-choice movement tacked right alongside the civil rights movement. So abortion and the civil rights movement are also one and the same. So I think that when we read headlines, we need to not be fearful. And for me, and I'm just going to be really transparent right now. When I read that headline, my gut turned because I thought, oh no, here we go again. But people's memory isn't as short term as I thought it was. And it didn't carry a lot of weight with a lot of people. And the beauty of this is President Trump's on a mission. He doesn't have to worry about that next term. He doesn't, and he knows what he's doing in D.C., and he knows about the swamp he's draining and exactly where that swamp is. We have a different president this time around, and we're living in a different time, and the nation is ready to see that level of corruption and that level of division brought down. So, maybe we all need to be healed of the trauma of the last 9 years a little bit, including, some of President Trump's family. So, okay. So, that's just me sharing my heart a little bit. But, I think that if we look at Florida, they ended DEI stuff a long time ago, and they're doing just fine. In fact, their state is thriving. And if you remember, the Lord had given me a dream years ago about with DeSantis, and President Trump was right behind him. And the Lord said in that dream, and I watched DeSantis, he was there in front of the press, and the Lord said, watch DeSantis and you will see what I'm doing with my nation. And so I knew that DeSantis was implementing a lot of policies that we would one day see President Trump implement. And I believe that President Trump emboldened DeSantis even more, because DeSantis knew what he could do within his own state. So, it's good stuff that's coming. So don't be fearful. I just want to encourage you in that. So we may face bumps along the way, but, God is moving in our state, and he's moving in the state of the nation. He's moving in the nation, and he will continue to move in the nation. And throughout this whole process, we have to really cling to the word, cling to prayer, and trust God in what he's doing. And if we will do that and lean not into our own understanding, as Proverbs 3 teaches us, if we will do that, we can actually, he will show us the events in front of us through his lens, so we can continue to pray according to his will. We can stay focused on his promise, and we can help support President Trump in all that God has placed within him, that he would accomplish it all. So I'm going to reiterate a couple of visions that the Lord was really so gracious to give me some time ago about the prophetic timeline that we're in right now. And then I'm going to share what we're uprooting in our nation and why it's so important for us not to grow weary or lax in our intercession in the days ahead. And I think that will help us stay the course. And it's not just for us, it's for our children, for our grandchildren. It's a very important, pivotal time in history. It's, Stallone likened President Trump to Washington because he really has the mantle of Washington. He's a revolutionary president, and he will go down in history, should the Lord tarry, as one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. He will be memorialized for the work he will do, but it's important that we stay the course and in prayer for him. Okay, so back in 2016, and I've prayed into this, I've shared it a couple times, but I think this bears repeating because it also refers to the approach of our golden hour. So this refers to the prophetic timeline that we're on. So this is the healing and unifying work of a Trump presidency. So we were in prayer back in October of 2016, and I had this vision of Donald Trump, and his entire life was laid out before me. His past, his present, his future, they were all laid out in front of me. So, if you take an hourglass and put it on its side, and the grains of sand on the left represent Trump's experiences, his successes, his failures, his sorrows, his celebrations, the personal and the professional, all were represented on the one side of this hourglass laying on the side. On the right was the future. So Donald Trump, president-elect, stepped out on the stage to take the oath of office. And the moment his heel touched the platform, I saw everything he'd experienced in his life, pictured those grains in that hourglass, come from behind and meet at his body. Then when his toe hit the stage, they shot through him and onto our nation in the form of golden light. Tiny grains of light just burst forth, and they penetrated the darkness in order to bring healing to our land. It looked like liquid gold had been poured out over the nation, covering the land with this golden hue. Healing, restoration, and unification of the people of this nation all occurred under this golden hue. In that moment, the Lord told me he'd created Trump for this hour in history. Everything he'd ever experienced in his 70 years at that time would be poured out to heal and rebuild our nation. That's this right here, this moment that we're in right now, is why Trump was created. And looking back at that vision, I have to say that I believe that President Trump's heel hitting the stage represents his first term in office. And from that moment, they'd use all his mistakes and missteps and even lie about him to destroy him. But his toe hitting the stage represents his second term in office, which is where we are right now. So the time in which all of his successes and failures, perceived and real, would be used to heal the land, to bring forth that liquid gold, that golden hour that I saw covering the nation so long ago. And it's in that second term that we will see these new breed of believers and these rods of righteousness that God has been preparing for this very moment in history arise. Recently, I saw a clip from a podcast by Charlie Kirk, and which is, he's the founder of Turning Point USA. He speaks at universities. But in that podcast, he stated, we needed the past 4 years so that a new breed of believers would rise up and fight with us for this country. I thought that was pretty interesting. But God allowed the season to exposure to awaken this new breed of patriots that we have coming forth, those rods of righteousness. And these are people who are the rods of righteousness. They're people that are going to do everything in their power to retain and maintain the work of His Spirit in our nation. It really is coming. This golden hour is approaching. And I know we feel gun shy sometimes, but engage with the Lord and trust Him. Trust Him. So the next one that I saw is President Trump and 2024, the year of reclamation. And this one is really important for us to understand because it addresses much of what we're about to see, particularly in terms of defeating communism in our nation. And so this was September 6th of 2023. And it was, I remember it so vividly. It was a Wednesday morning, and I had a series of visions while I was praying over President Trump and our nation. And as I prayed, I had a vision of President Trump before me, and he was standing with his head bowed, but he had arrows sticking out all over his body. And I asked the Lord where these arrows came from, and he said, the church, which was very grievous to my heart. But so I quickly moved over to the president to start pulling out these arrows, and I was praying for healing over every wound. I prayed over his back, his head, his heart, his knees, and his feet. And those areas, once wounded, began to glow with the healing touch of the Lord. And then the Lord began to speak these words over President Trump. Donald J. Trump, you are my anointed. You are my choice to lead the nation out of chaos of the elite. Only you have been granted the wisdom, the understanding, the counsel to do so, and I will grant you the spirit of might. You have been given the spirit of knowledge and will indeed walk in the fear of the Lord. As you enter the office of the presidency, once again, I will expand my spirit within you to effectively tackle the chaos of the elite. Remember, this was a year and a half ago. His back straightened, his knees strengthened, this unbelievable clarity came to his mind and his heart, and there was determination in his eyes. He was unshakable. He was unstoppable. He was a rod of God against the elite. And I'm going to tell you, the look in President Trump's face in this vision is the same look that is in the presidential photo, the official presidential photo. So if you have not seen that photo yet, look it up. It is powerful. That's the same look in his eyes. So he began to walk over the communist agenda, and with each step, the fallow ground shattered underneath his feet. I walked alongside him, praying in the spirit, decreeing and declaring with each passing step, direct assaults against the communist agenda. Each step he took crushed one communist agenda after another. The communists, which you keep thinking, Ricky, what are you talking about, these communists? That's the Democrats. The Democrats are communists. They began to shake and quake, and as they saw the hammer of justice heading straight for them, this long pathway, and I literally walked alongside these steps. It was a prophetic act that was taking place, 45 steps. They crush the invasion into our media. They invade the invasion into academia, the infiltration in our government, our financial institutions, even our churches, until we looked behind us and saw the mounds of rubble left in our wake. Somehow it was all collected and placed in our hands, and we thrust this dust into the fire of God to be consumed. I looked and saw the deep state players within Congress blown out to sea. I saw other members of the deep state that were positioned in key positions of government, finance, and so on, exposed and then thrust into darkness. The rod of God had come, and the hammer of justice had fallen. President Trump turned around, and as we walked, the vision I had of him before the 2016 election reappeared. And as I just shared in that vision, by time his toe hit the stage, that's when everything rolled out onto the nation. And the Lord said, the healing is coming, the unifying of the people, the restoration of all things within my nation is coming. Watch and listen. And I would say that to you, watch and listen. The healing is coming. I heard the song begin to play, "This Land Is My Land," in the background. And when I looked, the people of our nation were singing this song as the country was rebuilt from the ground up in some areas. They sang and they worked. They sang in perfect unity, reclaiming the nation as their own, stripping the rights from the elite and grabbing hold of the nation, knowing it was once again truly their own. I saw excellence pour out over the land, and healing flowed among the people. The divisiveness was lifted, and the unification of the nation had arrived. The Lord told me that 2024 is the year of reclamation. It's time to reclaim that which the enemy has stolen. And this was in 23 that I had this. So 2023 was the year of revolution, 24 was the year of reclamation, and 2025 is the year of justice. Our nation is on a path to healing, and as we pray into the things that God has given us, we trust God to fulfill his will in the earth. Any prophecy with historical substance, especially those that shape nations, should be prayed over again and again. And this is why you will hear Mom and I both pray into the things that the Lord has shown us. And you'll hear the team pray into those things as well, because it's important for us to continue to bring those things before the Lord. He speaks so that we can pray according to his will. Our responsibility is to just continue to listen to the word of the Lord and pray into his plans and purpose for the nation. And so that's one reason why this message is so important right now, and why the Lord compelled me to bring it. But now I'm going to address what we're uprooting. What was President Trump walking on? It's communism. And so what exactly is communism, and how has it infiltrated our nation? Communism is a type of government, and this is the definition, an actual definition out there. It's a type of government as well as an economic system. In a communist system, individual people do not own land, factories, or machinery. Instead, the government or the whole community owns these things. Everyone is supposed to share the wealth they create. However, we can learn from our own State Department, which has been that information. If you go to our State Department, you can look up communist nations and what their policies really are. But this has also been confirmed by our brothers and sisters from China. China is the one specifically I'm addressing tonight. That the citizens do not own or share in the wealth produced there. Many, especially those who are in political or religious opposition to the government of China, work in factories as slave labor. China is among the top users of child labor in products we consume here in the U.S. as well as other nations around the world. They're known for the human rights violations, which is why prior to the Clinton administration, we didn't do business with China. He's the one that opened that up. We can recognize the same type of principles with socialism. The government owns the land, the factories, the machinery, and the people are supposed to reap the benefits of this. free education, free housing, free medical, free food. At least that's how it's presented to our young people. No one has explained to them the cost involved or the work they themselves might have to engage in to produce the goods they want to consume. We see this in Canada today. If you need medical care, you'll wait for months, possibly years, to get the medical procedures you need because the system is so overloaded they don't have enough resources to provide them. For chronic patients, they send out brochures on physician-assisted suicide before they'll give you a surgery date. And this is true. This literally happens in Canada. Technically speaking, though, socialism is an economic system in which major industries are owned by workers rather than private businesses. It's different from capitalism, where private actors like business owners and shareholders, they can own the means of production. Someone still must work in those factories, a fact that has, you know, not been shared with our social justice warriors who protest capitalism and advocate for socialism, but it's true. So, you know, we can look at America and say this is a far cry from communism or socialism even. But right here in California, we have a government filled with representatives who are fighting for the right to indoctrinate our children in LGBTQ plus ideology. They fight to abort our children, and they fight to expand climate crisis initiatives, all of which bring death and destruction. The climate crisis initiative is one of the reasons why the fire was so bad. By not thinning the forest, and this is just a side note here, by not thinning the forest, the trees are now having to share the amount of water that's down there. And so because of this, and, you know, when we allow loggers to come through, they clear the lines, the power lines. They clear the trees, rather, around the power lines. That's what they do. They maintain and thin out the trees. And by doing so, it protects the trees so they can stay healthy and have enough water. And because they have not allowed this, and any logging company that wants to go in there, they have to file all kinds of EPA regulations, most of which they're not willing to do. So now we're getting bark beetles, which are weakening and bringing diseases to the trees. So it's just like throwing, you know, a match into hay, to be honest with you, and it just sets it on fire. The climate crisis really is bringing death and destruction to California. So not the climate crisis, but the initiatives. So these legislators are the same ones that stopped the deforestation and the collection of water reserves to protect the smelt and the field mice here in California. But these actions, I believe, we're going to prove, contributed greatly to the tremendous loss of life, housing, and forestry this month. And the insanity of this government here, which is, they're communists, is that the very same month the citizens of our state were so devastated by those catastrophic fires, those politicians went to D.C. and they voted against deporting illegal migrants who were convicted of sex crimes. And just yesterday, they voted against protecting babies in this week's vote for the Born Alive Protection Act. They've done this over 90 times. A baby that survives a botched abortion, they vote against a ban that would require them to offer the same care that any baby born at that gestation would be given. That is communism in its deepest, darkest moments. And why? Why are they willing to do this? Because their social justice issues have to take priority regardless of the cost. Victims of sex crimes and our preborn are simply a necessary sacrifice in their cause of maintaining open borders and unrestricted access to abortions. In their mind, a vote to protect either is to admit in some small way their cause is an unjust one. Any politician or Christian who wants to set California or America free from that mindset is persecuted. We can look at the 1,500 J6 prisoners that were just released, or those pro-life prisoners, those 23 that Trump signed pardons for today. The Biden Department of Justice deemed them a threat to America. Why? Because it stood against their policies. That is communism. There's reports out there they've been tortured mentally, physically, emotionally. These are acts of terrorism, really, truly against humanity. And those are acts of communism. So over time, communism took on this socialism title, I guess, and together they've merged into this cultural Marxism. And here's the definition. I've talked about cultural Marxism before, but the dictionary defines Marxism as the political, economic, and social theories of Karl Marx, including the belief that struggle between social classes is a major force in history, and there should eventually be a society in which there are no classes. Cultural Marxism is using the culture, to force both corporate and legislative change in the nation. They do this with our social justice warriors. They know they can't take our nation with our Constitution as solid as it is, and if the church, the heart of the nation, remains engaged and intact, it's an impossible feat for them. So they have to go around it and go through the culture. They influence change through the culture, and we have seen the product of that over the course of the last two decades. Godfrey defines cultural Marxism as a particular movement for change that combines some elements of Marxist socialism with a call for sexual and cultural revolution. And we've seen this in our nation too, especially with what they've done to our children through academia over the last 16 years. Reforming our nation from within, and it's been devastating. So yes, we are actually fighting communism, and it doesn't matter how they rebrand it. Socialism, Marxism, cultural Marxism, it's communism. And their goal is to take America. So where do these roots stem from, and how did we get to this point? So January 10th of 1963, Congressman Herlong of Florida read a list of 45 communist goals into the congressional record. The list was derived from researcher Cleon Skuzin's book, The Naked Communist. These principles are well worth revisiting today in order to gain insights into the thinking and strategies of much of our so-called liberal elite. These were steps they determined would be necessary to bring down a nation like America. If successful, they would strip us of the freedoms we possess and take our nation right out from underneath us. And let me tell you, they were super close. They were super close. I would encourage you to read those. We actually have it on our website, 45 Goals of Communism. But I have summarized them for you into a just about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 categories. Government, academia, business, media, family, national sovereignty, and the church. And so the most important here are those that weaken and bring compromise to the faith of the nation or the church. The church is the heartbeat of the nation. And we do identify as a Christian nation. And it's, you know, a watered-down gospel, In order for them to successfully do this, a watered-down gospel had to infiltrate the church. And the key to this was to eliminate prayer and Bible reading from schools, using our justice system to achieve that goal, while convincing the people it was a matter of separation of church and state. Now this, you know, we know is a fallacy. The intent of our founders was to keep the government out of our church while ensuring the church stayed actively involved in the issues of state. And if you doubt that, get William Federer's book, America's God and Country, and you can read letters from our founding fathers about this very issue. What was their intent when they wrote the Constitution? You can read letters from before that. You can read laws that were enacted from the 1600s that were to protect the church, to protect this as a Christian nation, all contained, assembled by William Federer in his book. It's really a powerful tool. So how did we get here? Well, you know, they say if you repeat a lie often enough, people begin to believe it, right? People begin to believe that lie. But we are the church, particularly the intercessors, those that the Lord has spoken to about how he wants to right this ship and turn this around. So we have to stay anchored in the truth. So the next thing they had to do was replace revealed religion with a social gospel. And this has no basis on scripture, of course, and it has influenced the seeker-friendly movement far and wide. It's the same movement that stood there and begged the President of the United States in a service that's traditionally been a unifier of the parties, one that occurs culminating, you know, at every inauguration, to have mercy on convicted sex criminals rather than deporting them. She's also the same priest or bishop, I guess she is, that supports same-sex marriage and the 72 gender ideology they push to our youth. She herself embodies that agenda. That's the watered-down gospel I'm talking about. 72 genders, that is true. That's why President Trump said, we will be a nation with only two genders. Because they literally, look it up, how many genders are there? And you can read the ridiculous list that they have compiled. And what does that do? It brings confusion and chaos for our children. That's what it does. So the next thing, speaking of our children, was academia. And from the youngest to the oldest, they developed programs and such for kids younger and younger with the intent to pull them out from under the care of their parents and into the care of programs that teach compromised values, gender confusion, hatred for authority, hatred for our country, and worst of all, hatred for God. 30% of the 45 communist schools have to do with the church and academia. What does that tell you? I really could go on and on about these, but you can read them yourself on our website, and I encourage you to do it. You know, you could even just Google it, and you'll find a sheet. That's where we pulled it from, as we pulled it up. We put it together, and we put it on our website so that you could read it. And I encourage you to do that because you need to be aware of what we're fighting, not just us, but our president. We need to be aware of what we're defeating. In these last 9 years, as hard as they've been, we have a president in office who is ready to blaze through those 45 communist goals and turn our nation back around. That's the man I saw in the vision the Lord gave me in 2023. a man that was tearing up the communist agenda and casting it from our shores. Why is it important for us not to grow lax in our prayers and in our fight? When JFK took office, he was going to extract this garbage from our nation before it could really take root, starting with the economic chains they'd placed on us with the New World Order systems. For the Democrats, JFK was to be the final nail in the coffin, signifying the death of America. Instead, he refused to comply. That's why they had him killed, and they worked to install presidents who would comply with their agenda. Reagan warned again and again about this issue, and the people were behind him in this fight because they had begun to see it, really see it surface in our nation. They tried to kill him too. But when the Berlin Wall fell, people felt they'd been victorious, and they became apathetic, thinking the fight against communism was won, and now they could just relax and enjoy their lives. The communists, however, learned from this. And instead of trying to infiltrate and take the nation from the top down, they took the longer approach and decided to work from the bottom up, and they infiltrated our schools, our universities, our colleges, our high schools, our middle schools, and now elementary schools, even preschools. They taught our children to hate God, their parents, and our country. It's a passive approach, but it's been very successful, and it's given birth to social justice warriors just like AOC. The long road in this fight. The Democrat Party embraced communism wholeheartedly as the future of America. It jumped in with both feet, and it embraced social justice issues such as affirmative action, which, as I said, is as racist as it gets, and women's rights, which is code for the ability to kill your preborn children when having a child is not convenient. And these are the badges worn by every Democrat who runs for office. They're not open-minded, free thinkers, like they want you to believe they are. That's why they almost succeeded in bringing in this communist movement and turning our nation over. But the thing that they have in their favor is they stay unified. See, on our side, we're free thinkers. and so we have our own opinions, and then there's infighting, and you know, that's the one thing that they have that I, you know, begrudgingly admire about the Democrats. But every one of the Democrats have embraced ideologies that bring death and destruction upon nations. Ideologies that will, given the chance, swoop in and take that nation, destroying everyone in their wake. The figurehead of that party for the last 50 years has been Joseph Biden. Why do I say that? Because when running for president in 2020, he was pressed in the debate about policies, and he angrily raised both fists in the air and shouted, "I am the Democrat Party." It was then that the Democrat Party knew that they had to rig the election. I saw it when it happened, and I just knew it. And not long after that, we had the fraudulent election, and he took office. And this really is a prophetic timeline, because his mental state rapidly declined at that point. That was the justice of God. His ability to take long meetings and participate actively or coherently in speeches or anything else for that matter dropped sharply. And this, I really do feel it was prophetic, because Biden, who by his own admission says he's the Democrat Party, really has been in decline right along with him. And the 2024 election demonstrated that. President Trump won the popular vote and the electoral vote. And the last president to do both was Ronald Reagan, who did what? Brought down that wall. They're both fighting against communism. So, how is it possible that we have been able to see these things in our lifetime, to recognize what's going on, and to be able to pray effectively? You know, for a quarter of a century, we prayed over these very issues. And today, President Trump, God answers prayers. Let me tell you, don't ever tell me that persistence. Remember the parable of that Jesus told of the woman who, or the man that would get, I mean, because he told like three parables. One is the woman to the unrighteous judge. The other is getting your neighbor to give you something to eat, even though they were in bed. So that persistence, 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 just to get you to stop. God really will answer. Imagine how much more he will do to those who love him and those he loves. Trump is blazing through every one of the 45 communist goals, and he's leaving a shattered ideology in his wake. His comeback, which is the greatest comeback in American history, is a prophetic imagery for God, for America's comeback. The greatest national comeback in history. And if we will pray, really endure the bumps in the road, and recognize we're fighting against an ideology, communism, if we will endure the frustrations and the periodic setbacks, we will see a new America, one that mom saw, and that, you know, the Lord gave me the privilege recently of seeing, depicts the age of innocence. That's where we are in our prophetic timeline. One that God is not just behind, but one that he has orchestrated to occur before time began. In the midst of America's golden hour, the golden age, as President Trump keeps putting it, we're going to see revival break out. And the Lord, through this period, will not only heal America, but he will heal the minds of our youth and those social justice warriors who've been indoctrinated to hate God and country. And I've seen that. I saw the Lord penetrate their minds with the serum, I guess, that would heal their minds, because they really have been indoctrinated. And they need their brains and their thought processes healed. So, recognizing this, where we are in our prophetic timeline, recognizing what we're fighting against, let us continue to press in. Don't grow lax like they did after Reagan told Gorbachev to bring down that wall. Don't grow lax because we've won this election. Stay the course. Stay people of prayer. Because if we'll do that, it's going to help us to see and recognize what God is doing in the nation. And it will help those new breed of believers rise up and take their place in retaining and maintaining the work of saving our nation. We're the intercessors that pray it through, that God is raising up a new breed of people who will retain and maintain the work that God has done in our land. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for the release of those 23 pro-life political prisoners. I thank you for the release of our J6 political prisoners. I thank you that you are exposing the corruption, and you were bringing down those communist agendas. I thank you for President Trump, and in your mercy, O Lord, that you have saw fit to bring him back to the forefront, ready to take down the cabal. I thank you, Lord, for the boldness that is within him, the fearlessness in tackling these things that not only impact us as a nation, but impact the states as well, like here in California. I thank you, Lord, that you give him wisdom and guidance, knowledge and understanding, and the spirit of might to crush those goals under his feet. And I thank you, Lord, for the intercessors who've been so faithful to the call, so faithful to see this through. And I ask, Lord God, that you would embolden us as well, and press on until America is completely set free from the cabal and that wall of communism is brought down once and for all. Bless them all, Lord God. Bless them. In your precious name, amen.